You're listening to Chief Concerns.
Hear ye, hear ye. My fellow brethren and sistren of the Chief's Clan.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Please, just like, be cool for once. Thank ye.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Pew, 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 pew.
Oh, it's been a minute since we've had those lasers. Feels good to get a few pew 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 pews back in the game. Welcome in the Chief Concerns here on Sports Radio 810. I am Joshua Briscoe. Thank you, Curtis, and your best football voice. And we're going to talk some Chiefs for the next hour. I hope that that's okay with you. We've got some concerns in the literal sense in the defensive backfield. Also, maybe a little something that just happened in the AFC West that maybe the Chiefs look into. Also, there have been a couple of articles about Patrick Mahomes from a national perspective, some good snippets about what got Patrick Mahomes to Kansas City in the first place, and then also a look at exactly how good of a situation Patrick Mahomes is coming into. We'll get to all that tonight. Also, some sound from practice, a couple things from today, a couple things from the last few days. We'll get to those in a little bit as well. So a lot to talk about here for the next hour. And we ought to start with the newsiest thing. I feel like that's reasonable. This isn't the biggest long-term issue of what we'll talk about tonight. But actually the breaking news is that currently the Browns are beating the Eagles in a preseason game 5-0. That's the big news. Other than a nice 5-0 preseason game with 0-16 versus the Super Bowl champions. Other than that, the news that came down, early this afternoon, 6-7 hours ago, is that the Raiders cut safety Melifonwu. The question mark is my own. That is not on the pronunciation guide. Melifonwu, I think, is safe enough. And he was a second-round pick of theirs last year. Now, there's been talk of his injuries, not being able to stay healthy. Maybe he's a guy that doesn't really love football enough. But he played just 5 games during his rookie season, spent 10 weeks on the IR with a knee and a hip injury. And so it's been impossible for him to get much going in training camp, apparently. He only took part in a few practices during training camp. And that was because of some injuries, and he was coming back with a bunch of things this offseason and all that. And so, like, obviously, like, this is a guy that comes out of college, coming into the NFL, extremely highly touted. You can't be a guy that maybe doesn't love football enough, which I think very oftentimes can be an overblown way of talking about a guy and his commitment or whatever. But he's a safety playing at 6'4", 207. If he is physically capable of playing football and would like to be on an NFL roster, not only do I think Brett Veach probably should go ahead and give his agent a call and bring him in to have a quick talk, I think he probably will. Or at the very least, I would bet anything that the Chiefs have spent the last 5 or 6 hours making sure that they've got all the looks at him they could possibly get. Going back to his college tape, visiting their own file on him from last year, looking at what the Raiders got out of him. The Chiefs have a chance to bring in a guy who a year ago was a second-round talent coming in the NFL draft at one of their biggest positions of need. I will not say that this is going to save their defensive backfield, and I can't even pretend to tell you that I know that this guy, Obi, we're just going to call him Obi, and then we'll make a bunch of Star Wars jokes. Twitter has already beat me on that one, and I'm not above puns, obviously, but at this point I feel like the window was 6 hours ago. And so, we could just be like, help me, Obi Melifonwu. You're our only hope. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make him the long-lost Jedi who is going to pull this defensive backfield together. I will not do that. but I think it's worth knowing about, and I am 100% sure that the Chiefs know about it. And isn't that partially what this show is for? Like, this show is like a late-night Chiefs show. This is here to help you be nerdier and more informed about your friendly local hood NFL team. I love that stuff, and I think this is what the Chiefs are talking about tonight. And it'll be a waiver claim situation, so I think if they think there is something to be gained here, they ought to let us know about that whenever the waiver claims rotate through. There's a chance that a team above the Chiefs would snatch him up before the Chiefs even could get to him. We don't know yet. And I don't know what the Chiefs believe happened in Oakland. But it's also impossible to not take this situation with, again, the second round draft pick last year for the Oakland Raiders released today, safety Obi Melifonwu. I do not know that's the correct number of syllables, but I have to make it three syllables or else I don't think I can say it without hearing someone else say it first. I think you have to look at Obi in this situation and juxtapose it with Reggie Ragland and Cam Irving. This feels like a no-brainer, right? Brett Veach went and traded for both of those guys last year. Guys who had, I don't know, rotted on the vine at their previous destination. The team that drafted them had written them off as more or less busts. And so I think the Chiefs got a really nice deal on Reggie Ragland. And a don't blame you for trying deal on Cam Irving. I'm not sure that he's ready to be an NFL starter at any position, but he seems versatile as hell. If he becomes Zach Fulton, I get it. Whatever. I'm open to the idea. But I think that what we know about Brett Veach, and what I hope I know about Brett Veach, makes me a little less nervous about the things that I am most concerned about. No pun intended, because the name of the show is Chief Concerns. Yeah, I get it. It makes me a little less concerned with the defensive backfield, my main concern. Because I think Brett Veach right now probably has, I'm not in his office, but actually we're broadcasting live from Brett Veach's office. I can't believe I should have started the show that way. I've got a lot of things. I'm reading a lot of post-it notes. It's got post-it notes everywhere. This one just says Odell Beckham Jr., and then it's circled in red Sharpie. And then there's another one with Khalil Mack with the same. I don't know what that means. It's really strange. Oh, that's strange. This post-it note is up on the wall. It looks like it's got darts in it. It's a picture of Marcus Peters. Weird. No, so I'm not in Brett Veach's office. Theater of the mind disappears now. But I would bet that he's got a post-it note or a legal pad or a Google Doc or an Excel spreadsheet with a good handful of names, probably in a couple different columns. Probably some names of, hey, you know what? If this team cuts this guy, we need to make sure we bring him in whenever roster cutdowns get here on September 1st. Probably also a few names, maybe in a shorter column that says, hey, you know what? Tomorrow after lunch, I'm going to give the Ravens a call and ask them about their fifth defensive, their fifth corner. I don't know if that's the Ravens specifically, but I'm going to call the Ravens just for kicks about their fifth corner. Because, you know, he's not going to get in the rotation for them. He might not even make the team for them. Maybe they think it's close when they're fifth and sixth guy, but we look at that fifth guy and say, you know what, he could really make an impact here. Maybe it's a rookie who has underachieved with his drafted destination, which is the situation here with Obi. Or maybe it's a veteran that slipped down a depth chart somewhere and you expect him to maybe get released, which is exactly what happened with Orlando Scandrick. Orlando Scandrick wasn't good enough to unseat the young guys in Washington because they would rather invest in the young guys, obviously. It's football. But Orlando Scandrick is probably the third best defensive back or the third best cornerback on this roster right now. So that's a veteran that makes sense for the Chiefs. I think they are fully aware of a good handful of guys around the league, both trade opportunities and, hey, what if they cut these number of guys? It was something that John Dorsey was really good at whenever he was rebuilding this team from the deep, dark depths they were in. And Andy Reid, too, but Dorsey was the one in there. And in his scouting department were the guys in there, you know, scouting other NFL rosters to try to find the value, wherever that may be. But Veach has shown a propensity for trades. And also a couple instances of finding guys who wore out their welcome wherever they were drafted and giving them a fresh start with much lower expectations here in Kansas City. Seems like it's working wonders with Reggie Ragland. Makes sense so far with Cam Irving. Not as glowing, but you got to take those shots. Whenever those guys show up at corner or safety, given the issues the Chiefs have at those positions, sure is worth a shot. And so I do want to talk about the secondary here just a little bit, and then we'll talk about Tyreek Hill. What he said today out at practice was very good. Travis Kelce yesterday had an interesting quote about Patrick Mahomes, and Andy Reid spoke today. And actually, let's start with Andy Reid, because some of the other stuff we heard from Bob Sutton talking about Orlando Scandrick, how he's fitting into the defense and all that, and that's all been good. But we get an overview as we look ahead now to Saturday, whenever the Chiefs are in Chicago playing the Chicago Bears in the third preseason game. We know that there's going to be three quarters of play from the starters. We also know there are some guys who haven't seen the field yet who may get a chance to play. Spencer Ware probably being the biggest name among them, but Orlando Scandrick will be out there as well. There are also guys that will not make it, and Andy Reid talked about all of that today. But whenever I look at the areas to keep an eye on Saturday, it starts in that defensive backfield. There will be no Steven Nelson. There will also be a handful of other starters that will not be out there. And that's how Andy Reid started his conversation with the media today, by giving the updates on who will and will not see the field on Saturday.
All right, so this is what you got for injuries and that will not play. You got Alan Bailey with a knee sprain. You got Eric Berry, who's still recovering but doing good. Tardif did a little bit of work today, but we'll hold him out. Steven Nelson has a concussion. He's in the protocol. We'll hold him out. And Tardif's still in the protocol, by the way. And that's really the group that will not play. So with that, we look forward to going down to Chicago and having a chance to play the Bears. And it looks like Matt Nagy's doing a great job there, getting that thing where he wants it. And we'll give our ones three quarters, and I'll see kind of how that thing's going into that third quarter, and then the twos and or threes will work in, just depending on what position we're looking at there. So, all right, time's yours.
Andy, it looks like you got some running back depth now, but without Sean Kendrick West, what do you guys lose? What did he give you that maybe you guys?
Yeah, well, you're talking about one of my all-time favorite guys. Yeah, yeah. So he great personality, and he's going to hook on with somebody. It's just this. It's the way this league works, and so we felt like we give him an opportunity here to hook on with somebody, and all these guys aren't going to make it, and that's probably how it was going to go there. So, but this gives him a great opportunity to go hook on with another team.
Will we see Spencer play this weekend?
There's a chance. I'm going to just kind of see how he does during the warm-ups, but right now he's scheduled to play. We'll just see how he feels, especially after today. We'll see how it all goes. So.
And DeAnthony Thomas, too?
Likewise, yeah, same deal.
Why was Sean Kendrick one of your favorite guys?
Great personality, man. He was an energy giver every day. Great kid. Just always had a smile on his face when he came to work.
Andy, is everything okay with Xavier Williams? Looked like he did a lot. Team stuff.
Yeah, so Xavier had some stingers, and which we talked about after our game. Right. So we've kind of backed him off a little bit. We'll just see how he does before he's going to get ready to play. But we'll just see how he does as we get closer.
Is part of this game making halftime adjustments for Patrick Mahomes and sort of seeing how he responds to that?
Yeah. So not only that, but just the fact of getting in and getting out, of halftime and really going through the halftime procedure, you know. So we'll just see how, again, see how the reps are at that point, and we'll go from there.
Andy, do you have an idea how much you want to see Skandrick out there? I mean, obviously he's been through three seasons, so he's not off the street, but he's new to you guys.
Yeah, he'll have a chance to get out there and play. So I've seen him now for quite a few years. I saw him as a rookie coming up through, so and played a lot of games against him. So I got a pretty good idea what he can do. But he needs to get used to the system and get out there and shake up. And he wants to do that. I mean, he's all in. So
it's Andy Reid. The last thing the Aaron O'Leary and Skandrick is back to the discussion that I was just interested in having, which is, what does this secondary need to look like to get better? And Skandrick being brought into the mix, I'm not worried about him needing more time to get caught up to speed, which is good news. He said this himself, by the way. He talked for like 6 or 7 minutes, and I didn't even cut any of that audio. Charlie's here, by the way. Hi, Charlie.
Hi.
I feel like this is how I end up introducing you many days. I don't know. My real focus is how many words I can shove into this hour-long slot of programming. And so, like, you just really are just a speed bump, and except for when I need your help.
Of course. Thanks. That's a good label to have.
Feel like it is. Yeah. I'm just like, hey, welcome to the Chief Concerns.
Anything
I'm
to prevent
steamrolling.
You from, No.
Go ahead.
Sorry, preventing words.
Words. Please, let me talk about steamrolling over you.
I'm concerned about Chief's concerns.
That's fair. Lots of people are. But so I didn't even cut any of the Orlando Skandrick audio because he talked for a while, but he literally just like kept answering every question with like, "I just got here, man." I was like, "So what do you see in this team?" So I was like, "Dude, I'm trying." He literally at one point said, "I'm just trying to learn everybody's names." But the good thing where I'm not worried about him maybe not have everybody's names down before he actually makes his debut on the field, the reason that doesn't concern me is because, as he has said, Andy Reid has said, and Bob Sutton has said, listen to all of this, he's been in the league for a decade. There are only so many coverages you can play. And he's going to be able to know how he works in all of them. And the real challenge is how the Chiefs play to his strengths. And so that's going to be trying to put him in the best possible situations and everything. So I feel pretty good about that. All right, we are now going to pivot to Patrick Mahomes. And before we pivot to Patrick Mahomes, we need to take a commercial break because got to pay to keep the station running. But this gives us a nice excuse to take a deep breath, try to put the stresses of the secondary out of your mind, and then focus on the hope and joy that Patrick Mahomes will bring to us. I'm Joshua Briscoe. Thanks for asking. You're listening to Chief Concerns here on Sports Radio 810. Whenever we come back, Patrick Mahomes time.
Chief Concerns.
Pew, 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 pew.
I listened to the first half of the new Travis Scott album, and I stopped listening halfway through. Like, I'll go back and listen to it, but I did not do it for me. This is a Travis Scott song. Welcome back in the Chief Concerns here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Joshua Briscoe. I occasionally get thoroughly distracted by the bump music. And sometimes. Charlie listens
to... It happens to the best of us.
It does. And also me. Fish.
Yeah, I do.
And so I feel like talking about the new Travis Scott album with you is...
Oh,
not,
yeah, right over my head.
We have a good handful of things in common. Musical preferences, not among them.
No, pretty much complete opposite. Not complete opposite, but close to.
The Venn diagram has very little overlap. Yeah. Like, I don't feel like they're at war.
So can we just shift the rest of the show to jam band concerns?
We could do jam band concerns, but that show would go for 4 hours for no good reason.
On one topic.
On one topic. Yes, 100%. 100%. Jam band concerns would just be like, yeah, so Orlando Scandrick for 4 hours and just going all over the place and just sort of switching it up, and who really knows? Not this, though. Chief Concerns is about lasers and pew, 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 pews and big sounds. And no epitomizes that better than Patrick Mahomes. Pew, 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 pew. 538 wrote a column that I've been basically dictating to them for the last, I don't know, 14 months. But they finally put it out there. I appreciate it. They said that it was written by Neil Payne and not written by Joshua Briscoe. But I'll let them off this one time. Because the headline on 538.com, a website devoted to analytics and math, was the Chiefs' new quarterback is walking into an ideal situation. Time starters have ever had as much talent to work with as Patrick Mahomes does. Considering that you listening are almost certainly either a Chiefs fan or at least Chiefs literate, I'll save you the first few paragraphs, which are basically like, wow, they've got lots of good players. Because we've been talking about this for months. If not 14 months, at least like 4 or 5, and really like 14. The weaponry is incredible, and also now the addition of Sammy Watkins this offseason makes it even more overwhelming.
How concerned are you with his lack of targets?
Oh, we will get to Sammy Watkins. I'm not worried yet. Sammy Watkins has had like 79 offensive coordinators throughout his career so far. You know what? Fine. I'll answer your Sammy Watkins question now, because that is many people's chief concern. Wackity smackity doo. Are you going to play the thing?
Chief concerns.
Pew, 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 pew.
Many people's chief concern is him. But right now, Watkins is like getting used to this offense. People say it takes years sometimes. A part of lots of different offenses. Has never moved around like he is in Kansas City. He's never had the talent around him like he does in Kansas City. Not concerned. On a scale of 1 to 10, maybe a 3. Which is not zero. And that's basically just because like he didn't come back to the football in the end zone in the week 2 game and then also dropped that pass that was a little bit behind him. It's like a 3.
That's a lot less than the rest of the city.
Yeah, it's
the rest
it's,
of the city's at like an 8?
No, and I think that's needing something to be worried about in the preseason. Honestly, I think that's just needing to be worried about something in the preseason. Because everything's going well offensively. We've already talked about the secondary ad nauseum. So now today is the day we worry about Sammy Watkins. And I'm just not yet. If he has a hard time getting involved with the flow of the offense into the regular season, then I'm okay with that. But man, we are currently halfway through the preseason. Would I have preferred that he had a nice, he had a touchdown that looked like Tyreek Hill's last week? Of course, that would have been great. If he would have come back for that football in the end zone, would we be talking about this completely differently? Absolutely. Because we would be saying, ah, look at end zone, red zone target, Sammy Watkins getting the touchdown. Beautiful. Instead, he didn't come back for a pass that made us nervous. I get it. I really do. But so, I count Sammy Watkins as one of the reasons that this article on 538 was written. Again, the Chiefs' quarterback is walking into an ideal situation. They write up like 3 paragraphs and then start here. In other words, there's a reason ESPN's Bill Barnwell ranked Kansas City's non-quarterback skill players as the best offensive arsenal in the league heading into the season. And in fact, if we zoom out beyond 2018 and look at NFL history, few first-time starters have ever been surrounded by a better group of skill position talent than Mahomes will have at his disposal this season. To measure this, I went back to the 1970 NFL-AFL merger and tracked each team's top 2 running backs and top 3 receivers, whether wide receivers or tight ends, for each season using Pro Football Reference's approximate value metric, which assigns each player a numerical value roughly corresponding to his statistical productivity that year. For those core groups of primary offensive skill players, I added up a weighted sum of their AV over the previous 3 seasons to get a sense for how productive the group had been in the handful of seasons leading up to the one in question. Finally, I filtered for teams whose quarterback was in his first season as an NFL primary quarterback to look for situations comparable to the one Mahomes currently finds himself in. After tallying up all the skill position AV, here are the top supporting casts a new starter has gotten to play with since the merger. Are you with me? That was a lot of words and a lot of formulaic stuff, but I think it's important. So here's what 538 basically boils it down to. Among quarterbacks in their first season as a primary quarterback, those who primary supporting cast, two running backs and three receivers or tight ends produced the most weighted approximate value in the previous three seasons. Mahomes is, in this Chiefs team, is near the top of the list and is at the top of the list for teams since 2007. Best situation for a quarterback since 2007, which for me is almost enough to go ahead and just give the nod to this group because of how much the league has changed. But the very top of the list is Phillip Rivers coming in 2006. Tomlinson, Turner, Gates, Parker, McCardell. Don't know that. Sorry, I'm 14 years old. In 1980, Dallas, White comes in. Dorsett, Newhouse, Hill, Pearson, Dupree. Charlie Batch in Detroit in 1998. Sanders, Vardell, Morton, Moore, Crowell. I don't know who Hodgeboom is. He played quarterback 10 years before I was born. That was in 84. Matt Leinart shows up on this list in 2006 with the Cardinals. Edgerrin James, Arrington, Bolden, Fitzgerald, Johnson. Like, there's a lot of good good groups here. Phillip Rivers in 06 shows up, though. Jason Campbell in 2007 with Washington clicks in above Mahomes coming in with the Chiefs. Clinton Portis, Betts, Cooley, Moss, Randall L. Matt Castle in 2008 is just below Patrick Mahomes. But that group of Washington players with Jason Campbell in 07 is the most recent one. Phillip Rivers and Matt Leinart both appear on this list also. But there is no one in the teens in the 2010 or after, in this modern NFL era. Christian Ponder in 2011 is down below Patrick Mahomes on this list. No one else even shows up. And so, as the article says here, although Kansas City's talented group isn't quite the most gifted core the young quarterback has ever had to work with, it is close, with it ranking 12th best since 1970 and the best this decade. In terms of what it might mean for the Chiefs, the rest of the teams on this list ended up posting an average of 8.9 wins per 16 games, just a tick below the average of 9 wins posted under their old quarterback, with the new quarterback generating exactly the same value as his predecessor had done the role of the year before. So if history is any indicator, Chiefs fans may not feel much of a drop-off from Smith to Mahomes despite the latter's inexperience. And so I think that's interesting because it puts us into a historical perspective. And we've done that here multiple times, where we look at the historical similarities, who has produced around a young quarterback like this for a team in the history of ever. This decade, there is no answer. There is no response. Which takes me to a larger conversation that I've been having about Patrick Mahomes' floor. I know people are concerned about what if he just comes in and throws a bunch of picks. And you know what? He almost threw a pick in the end zone, although the previous play or two plays prior would have been a touchdown if Mitchell Schwartz had been lined up on the line of scrimmage. So we would be talking about two touchdowns, but whatever, we're not. So almost a pick in the end zone. He did float that pick whenever he was going to Sammy Watkins, and he did not look off the safety. And I think the haters' guide to talking about the Chiefs in the preseason would indicate that you should talk about the fact that it's crazy that one play totally changed the evaluation for Patrick Mahomes, not only in week two of the preseason, but in the preseason so far. One play overshadowed all of the negative, all of the nondescript, all of the everything. But isn't that exactly the point? The point with Patrick Mahomes is that play can happen, change everything, change the narrative, change the scoreboard, change the momentum, change everything. Everything in a way that makes him the guy that you want to put your franchise in the hands of. And so with that conversation and with looking at the idea of maybe Patrick Mahomes has a low floor because he could turn the ball over a lot. I simply don't think his floor is that low. Because I think that even whenever he throws lots of picks, he will give you those offsetting plays every once in a while that will completely break open an entire game. Also, Baker Mayfield just threw a pretty bad interception. Was he in the red zone? They're at least like they're marching down the field.
Yeah, right outside of the red zone, I think. And he was throwing some dimes this drive, too. So I don't know what happened there. But yeah, that was bad.
He also had his face thrown right into the, I don't know, hip to ass region of one of his offensive linemen whenever he got hit. Right into the hass. Hey, since we're using this, we'll use this as a moment to pivot. Did you see the clip on my folder, Beards, that says Bob or Beards? Sorry, Charlie. It's when it happens. Beards and I spent a lot of time together. It was
you too.
It was usually 90% of the time I need to ask for sound. I'm asking Beards. I'm sorry. Did you see the audio clip of today's day that says Bob Sutton is excited? Can you just play that really quick? Just don't even listen to it first. Just have you heard it yet? All right, great. It's a very short clip. This is something Bob Sutton said. That I heard when I was listening to all the sound today. This feels like an appropriate time to play it.
I'm kind of excited about that ass. I'm kind of excited about that ass. that ass.
That's amazing.
He said aspect. But he definitely said dad aspect in a dad way ass. That I just felt like ass. It felt like it needed to be trimmed up for the sake of this audio clip. One more time.
Dad ass.
It's so dumb. It's just so silly, but I could not help myself. Cause whenever 15 seconds whenever 15 seconds of editing work can get you to have Bob Sutton say dad ass. It's worth that. It's worth that effort.
Dad ass.
So that's the end of that article. There's another one that came out literally today that I wanted to give you a little snippet of, and not to just make this show Josh reads from the internet, but that one gave you some analytics, and this one will give you a story that I bet you haven't heard yet, unless someone else on the station read it to you, or if you're listening to Almost Entirely Sports on ESPN Kansas City from 4 to 6 p.m. every weekday. Charlie is drinking. But he's been doing that since the show started. On SI.com, through the MMQB, which is no longer Peter King, whatever, Jonathan Jones wrote this story. And the first couple paragraphs here are really fun. It's a longer story, and there are some other nuggets in it. I won't read you the whole thing. But I want to give you the first few paragraphs of this article from SI.com that came out today. It's called How Patrick Mahomes Won Over Andy Reid and the Chiefs. Andy Reid treats his quarterbacks differently than other prospects in the pre-draft process. He wants to spend all day with them, putting the signal callers through a marathon quarterback school, whiteboard work and concepts and retention tests that can stretch until 5 p.m. before the coaches finish with the prospect. Reid is trying to get an idea of how much a quarterback can learn and retain in years one and two. Back before the 2017 draft, Brett Veach, then the co-director of player personnel, now the Chiefs general manager, would see when the head coach would break for lunch. At that point in the day, Reid would have a pretty good read on the quarterback, and as he walked past the windows of Veach's office, he would look down and swipe his hand from left to right as if to say, no way. The kid couldn't be their guy of the future. Then Patrick Mahomes visited to the team facilities. Veach saw Reid on his way to lunch and looked for a hand signal. He got eye contact and a thumbs up, full approval from one of the best offensive minds in today's NFL. It wasn't just a nod or a smile, it was a thumbs up with a smile, Veach says. Turning that hall, I remember Coach looking at me like, yeah, this is the dude. That's a pretty good little story from Brett Veach, right? My immediate follow-up question, and he might have been asked this question and declined to answer, I don't know. But the information that I would not kill for, but that I would go through, I don't know, mild physical exertion for, would be to know how many times Andy Reid has talked with a quarterback and then gone nod and thumbs up. And then I would go for slightly more physical exertion to know the names of all of those guys. What did he think about Mitch Trubisky? He obviously preferred Watson, or preferred Mahomes over Deshaun Watson. What about guys in previous years? What about Derek Carr? I don't know. What about Carson Wentz? I wonder about a lot of that. And both of those stories I bring up because, first of all, I think it's fun to get a national perspective on the team that we're talking about. Like, I feel like that's always fun, if not always useful. But those were stories from an outside perspective that I think help give us a little more context for what it is that we're seeing here. Even outside of our rose-colored glasses, Patrick Mahomes is coming into an incredible situation as far as the talent around him. And Andy Reid, we know this up close, but it's also nice to see it from outside. Andy Reid was not going to trade Alex Smith away for just anybody to take over. And then the rest of the stories like this are, you know, 538 explaining to other people how good Travis Kelce is. Or in the SI article, it's quotes from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes that we've heard times before. But it's also just kind of fun. And that's one thing that I know can color my evaluation of things. It can cloud my judgment a little bit, maybe. And that's the one thing. I try really hard to not let anything truly cloud my judgment. Even my fandom. I'm a Chiefs fan. I don't hide that. It's evolved, certainly. My fandom has certainly evolved as I've covered the team and talked about the team and everything. But I don't really mind whenever my desire for sports to still be fun occasionally seeps in and maybe makes me lean in one direction or another. Because isn't that the point? I'm much more likely to forget about the fun than to put too much emphasis in it. Because so often sports talk and radio and analysis and writing and everything is all very serious work, right? Man, it's been fun. This week being, here's NFL Network talking about the throw. Here's Lewis Riddick losing his mind. Here's John Fox saying, bah humbug. Here's Adam Schefter saying, no, not bah humbug. This guy's going to throw 30 touchdowns this year. It's fun, man. I'm having a good time. I hope you're having a good time. Not just this offseason, but spending this time with us here on Chief Concerns on Sports Radio 810. My name is Josh Briscoe. If you want to tweet me any questions for the last segment of the show or at any point throughout the week or for almost entirely sports or honestly, whatever, whenever, you can do that at JB Briscoe. Or if you tweet at SportsRadio810 and use the hashtag ChiefConcerns, then I'll know you're talking to me. And that's almost as good as you following me on Twitter. Although I've said this before, I kind of have a photosynthesis thing going on where I don't actually have to eat. I just survive off of the energy of people following me on Twitter. So if you want me to, you know, keep living, your options are pretty clear. Also, if you go unfollow me on Twitter, a finger falls off. I just lose a digit. I start decomposing. I turn into the guy at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Going to your Twitter?
No!
Unfollow.
Ah, my pinky!
Boom.
Chief Concerns.
Pew, 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 pew.
Welcome back in the Chief Concerns here on Sports Radio 810. My name is Joshua Briscoe. Hello. We've got a few minutes left, which is just enough time to get to two bits of audio that I want you to hear. One from today, one from yesterday. Let's start with Travis Kelce here, Charlie, because Travis Kelce's thing was from yesterday and was pretty sportsy, pretty football-y. Tyreek Hill's thing is mostly nonsense, so we'll save that as the dessert at the end of today's show. But here are your vegetables. Listen to Travis Kelce from yesterday talking about getting into Patrick Mahomes' head.
We're still under Andy Reid's scheme. So a lot of the things that we were doing last year are very similar to what we were doing this year. Just the biggest difference is understanding the game through Pat's mind. Mm-hmm. That is, last year, I got, over the course of the past like 4 or 5 years, I was able to get in Alex's head. That way I was able to kind of be on the same page as him. And that's what we've been able to accomplish this year over the course of the offseason, training camp. Me and Pat have been able to figure out, you know, in certain situations where to go.
You said you try to get in the quarterback's head and understand what they're doing. So with that 69-yard pass to Hill in that last game, that's a throw that a lot of quarterbacks wouldn't even try to make, much less could make. So does that change your approach? Like Otto's playing with a great point guard, you can get the ball at any time. That some quarterbacks wouldn't try that pass, but you got to stay alert because of it.
Without a doubt. And that's kind of the transition of getting into Pat's mind and being able to be there play specific where he needs me to be or where he feels most comfortable to throw the ball. On those deep passes, man, just keep running.
That was really interesting from Travis Kelce because he started off by saying we're still in Andy Reid's scheme. And I think that's something like that acknowledges that there is an amount of standardization, an amount of consistency, obviously, but that the difference comes in whenever it's trying to know the quarterback that's getting you the ball. And of course that makes sense. Of course that's a part of the transition. But I thought it was interesting to hear Travis Kelce say that, like, actually. And to say, here's what is new and here's what isn't. We're an Andy Reid system, but it is different working with Patrick Mahomes. Of course it is. That makes a lot of sense. All right, the other thing I want you to hear is just a little bit of Tyreek Hill's press conference today. This he mentioned that he and Sammy Watkins, the rest of the guys, are playing PS4 together and everything. And this is him getting into the team's Madden League that he is the commissioner of.
We started this like Madden franchise. I'm on the team, so we got like everybody on the team in the franchise.
So you don't play as the Chiefs, you guys make your own team?
Nah, so to believe this or not, Pat is the Chiefs and I'm the Bills. So I'm trying to get myself from the Chiefs to the Bills. But he won't trade me. I'm trying to give Pat Kelvin Benjamin in the first rounder. I don't know. Tonight, man, he better take my trade. That's all I know.
How does Sammy feel about you being on the Bills?
Man, like the league is up and down right now, man. So I have no idea.
How did you guys decide who got what team?
How did we decide? Well, since I'm the commissioner, so I'm like Roger Goodell of the league, you know? You know, I got to run the league. D is a commissioner. He's the Browns. You got Eric Berry. He's the Colts. And like trying to decide on teams, kind of like, see, like I feel like I'm the best, so I play with the Bills. Like the Bills, like they good, but they not like good. So like I want to make the league like fair. Because if I get somebody like the Chiefs, I'm gonna win all the time. I want to make the league fair for like my teammates, you know? Because like last night I beat one of my teammates like 70-2.
Name
bad.
Him. Who was it?
No names. I'm a Kemp, but yeah. It was bad. It was pretty bad, man. I love Kemp, man. But thank you guys for having me.
He's working on his tight five there. It's funny. Gotta be honest. Hurt my heart a little bit to hear that Eric Berry's playing with the Colts. It hurts. I don't like that. The Colts have stolen so much of my joy. Also, Eric Berry is afraid of horses. Why are they playing with a horse team? Just don't be the Colts or Broncos. It's funny, though. At Football Fan Chiefs tweeted the question, and I'm just now seeing it. This is the question we're going to get to. Actually, it means at Football Fan Chai 1. The question is, what do we do without Eric Berry? Get worse. Significantly. Sign to Eric Reid? Probably won't happen. All right, thanks for hanging out with us here tonight on Chief Concerns. If you want more Chiefs talk, you can go find Almost Entirely Sports, or if you get your podcast, that's also from these dulcet tones. I'm Josh Briscoe. Thanks, Charlie Carlin, for being here tonight. Sorry again for calling you beards. We'll be back again whenever we're back again. Talk to you next time. Bye, Mom.